Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Morning Manna on this chilly Sunday morning. Amen. In this great, great city of Detroit. The weather has changed, but we are not complaining. We have had a glorious summer and we'll have a glorious fall and winter. Amen. This truly is the day that the Lord has made and we are rejoicing and glad in. I welcome you to Morning Manna as we begin to open up more revelation, amen, as God leads us by Holy Spirit into some truths of today. I'm telling you, I'm having a great time in warring, amen, praise the Lord. I'm warning in revelation, God sends revelation, the enemy tries to come and snatch a portion of your life out of socket so you don't catch what God is saying, but how many of you know that if you know the wiles of the enemy, you still champion on and do that which God has called us to do in this hour? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we do rejoice in you. We rejoice in who you are. We rejoice in who we are becoming in you. We rejoice that you have reached in and snatched us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you for the relationship that's been established between us. We thank you. Even as we holler your name this morning and call you holy, righteous, just, merciful, magnificent, Father, we thank you, sir, and we give you the highest praise. I thank you, Father God, for those who have called in on this day. I thank you, Father, for those that will hear via the internet. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their purpose. I thank you for their victory. And for each one, I give you the highest praise. I thank you for this great city of Detroit. And many of us find the place of our assignment. I thank you, Father, that you are moving by your hand. You are moving by your power. You're moving by your might. And we know that we're in this place because you desire this place, and your kingdom shall manifest in this place. And for that, we give you praise. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher to come alongside and give us the direction we need in this hour that we might understand the new place in which we're moving. We thank you for helping us understand that you are the God of this dispensation. You have the mind of Christ. You know the purpose of which we are to be in this earth. And so we thank you for the connection that we have in you, and we give you praise. We ask now that you would take this information that you are downloading in me and breathe on it, your revelation, that we may be able to understand with greater clarity the time and season that we're in today. And for that, we give you praise. Thank you, God, for an awesome day. Thank you, God, for an awesome time. Thank you, God, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. This is, once again, a glorious day. As God begins to open up the revelation that we need in this hour. Listen, those of you that are warring against intrusion of the enemy. And when I say intrusion of the enemy, when he begins to get into your mind space and begins to remind you things that you have not gained victory over yet, when he gets them challenging you and giving you, presenting on the stage of your mind all kind of dysfunctional, inoperable, challenging things, it's intended to draw you away so that you will not hear Holy Spirit in his whisper as he begins to give you direction on this day. Listen, I'm telling you, and I've been there, and I've been wrestling with some things over the last few hours. Listen, the enemy, hear me, the enemy is afraid that we are going to capture the reality of why we're in the earth and what God wants us to do. Amen. We have got to know that, so that we can bounce back after these attempts of the enemy to bring us out of position. Amen. And you have to begin to move forward. Listen, the body of Christ right now, as we know it, is in major trouble. The world is in major trouble. And the enemy has created much of this major trouble. And his intent is to keep us so impaled on the major trouble that we do not grab hold of truth and begin to war against that thing that is trying to war against us. Listen, we have to come aside sometimes. Sometimes you need to just sit and talk with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you don't need to be busy doing any and everything. You need to take some time out. Set your clock to go off at 3:30 in the morning if you need to, so you can come aside and just sit and be quiet and hear what the Holy Spirit would have to say. And then journal. Write it down. Please write it down, because you are going to remember it. You are going to remember it from the time you get up off the side of the bed and make it to the coffee. You're not going to remember. So write it down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, anyway, I'm pushed and pressed to get to this moment. I'm telling you, the Lord didn't begin to, I didn't begin to hear the revelation that he was downloading me until well after 5. Glory to God. And so I have been in this wind of trying to pull, not trying, this wind of getting to this moment in time where I can release my voice. In this hour, and not only into your ear, but into your spirit, that you may hear God in the midst of all of the din, all of the noise, all the things that are going on around you. Please, ma'am, please, sir, please hear God in this hour. It's the only thing that's going to rescue the ship. Glory to God. Wow, I'm reminded of Paul in Acts 27 on the ship. And he says, after he has an encounter with the angel at night, he goes and tells the captain, you know, that you should have stayed where I suggested that you stay. But soundly on this trip here, know that I've had a visitation in the night season, and the Lord has said, things the Lord has told me, that we're going to make our trip. We're going to get to Rome, but we're going to run aground. But in the running aground, we aren't going to lose one. Amen. We need to hear what Paul is saying about this hour. Amen. This thing is getting ready to run aground. Glory to God. But if you you won't lose your life if you follow instructions. God, Jesus says, follow me. Paul says, follow me. Listen, Paul had a destiny. Paul had a destination. Paul was on his way to see Caesar. The sea could have lifted up, turned upside down, and floated on the other side of the universe. Paul was going to keep the appointment. Amen. And everybody with Paul was going to keep the appointment. I'm telling you, follow those that follow Jesus. You're going to make it to your destination, regardless of running aground, regardless of the tossing and turning of the sea. You are going to make it. But you have got to make sure that you have the right thing in view so that you can get to that place. And I don't know who that's for, but amen. Glory to God. Amen. I want to, I'm doing a book study. I want to thank the Lord for just people you put in your life that and not only put in your life, I thank the Lord for being obedient. Glory to God. When he suggests that you, when he makes a suggestion that he do something, you go ahead and do it instead of complicating it by making your own decisions. 9 times out of 10, going in the wrong direction of where your answer lies. Amen. But I'm in the process of reading a book DeVerne Fromke, entitled Unto Full Stature. And the women that I am in relationship with in group, we're going to be reading this. We're going to be studying this. There are some things that are pertinent. And right now I am in a chapter that's referencing Paul and his call. And, in fact, the chapter is entitled, In Paul We See Three Phases of the Progressive Calling. Amen. The church is changing, guys. The church has changed. The church that Jesus describes in Matthew 16, verse 18, few and far between. We have been seduced, if you would, into a place of gathering that is a strange thing to the text, because it does not identify with what Jesus defined, as I said, the church to be. And because we have folded in to a foreign place, we're spinning our wheels. We're living in another place. that is not the place that's going to get us into the place called eternal life with God. We've changed. Come on, we've changed. And in this changing, we have brought ourselves into very dangerous waters. Amen. This ship, too, is getting ready to run aground if it has not already run aground. And I'm telling you, those who are not following Christ are going to find themselves in the deep. Amen. Because they did not hear. I need to be teaching from that Acts text, but I'm going to stay with what the Lord gave me. In this particular reading that I'm doing this morning, it's talking about the calling of Paul, and I want you go to Romans 1:1, if you would, as we show you what the Lord has shown me in this context. Romans 1:1, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. What this writer is opening up and what I'm seeing with such greater clarity is that our callings are in stages. Amen. We are, we have a general calling, we have a special calling, and we have a specific calling. And, some of us that have been around for a while, we've heard that saying, some were called, some were sent, and some just went. And then we've also understood that many have been called into out of darkness into light, but have instantly gone and bought a robe and a cross in order to, as the word says, mount a pulpit, if you would, to begin to release a word, having not yet been established in the calling, but getting ready to operate in the calling, because we have not understood the process of entry in. We have not understood the process of entering in, because the dynamic of the church has changed from what Jesus announced in Matthew to what we have declared in 2016 and before. The church is not the church of Jesus Christ. The church is an assembly that has come together out of the orchestrations and operations of man's intent to gather in a place where they have set the rule in many instances. Amen. And I am speaking of I'm speaking generally. I am not speaking in inclusive of all people and all hearts and all intents and all places. I am speaking generally of what we are seeing happening in that which is called the church. And we really don't have to look at the church in order to see whether it's effective or ineffective. All we have to do is look at the world around us, and truly we can understand that something is missing in the scheme of things. Something has gone amok. Something has gone off. Amen. Those women that were able to be with the wake-up call on last Saturday with Bishop Larry Jackson can witness to what I'm saying. The world has spiraled out spiraled into craziness, and spiraled into craziness because the church obviously is not being effective in this place called the earth. Amen. So I don't have to make declarations. I don't have to make statements as to what's wrong with the church. We can look at what's wrong with the world, and we can determine this is wrong with the world is because something has gone wrong in that controlling factor that God sent into the earth to cause the world to line up according to His purpose and His plan. We are not being effective in changing the earth. We are not 12 turning the world upside down. We had a whole lot more than 12. And obviously, we are moving in that same spiritual capacity, if you would, that the 12 moves, because that's not what's happening. Well, it's being turned upside down, all right, but it's not being turned upside down by the church. It's being turned upside down by hell. because the church is out of pocket. The church is out of place. Amen. The church is has allowed the enemy to come in and turn, if you would, its entire intent into something else. I'm telling you, I'm just seeing some things. And the thing that concerns me, and the thing that concerns many, is that we are going to be held accountable for the outcome of this thing. Amen. One thing about life, once you get in it, you can't get out of it unless you go by Jesus. Okay, you can't get out of it unless you go by God. There's no escapism. Amen. There's no place we want to escape that we miss the accountability that calls us as we move through this thing called life. So whether we yield to Him or we yield not to Him, we will yield to Him, because that is the way He set the created order. So we have changed pretty much the whole structure of the church and what it should look like. I am watching with great I wouldn't say surprise, because you know nothing surprises, nothing should surprise any of us. But I'm just watching some of the things that are going on, especially in this political season that the church is reacting to, responding to, speaking to. And it's like there's this war zone out there. This is not where I'm going today, but I'm just saying that there is a war zone, and there is this element of hatred that's being spewed out of the mouths of the so-called saints that is scary. Amen. It is, well, anyway, I don't want to be drawn off in that direction, but I'm getting ready. I'm going to be in that. Amen. I'm going to be in that. Well, amen. I'm going to be in that, but that's not where I'm going this morning. I want us to back up, and I want us to hear clearly what God is saying. We have to understand that we cannot redefine what God has already put in order. We cannot restate what He's already stated. We cannot reset what He's already set. We cannot change the pattern. We cannot change the paradigm. We cannot do anything. We can't make it look any different. We can't make it look any better. The only way we can align ourselves, the only way we can be victorious in it, is to align ourselves with it. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's not getting ready to change and become different. He's not getting ready to come in alignment with what we think it ought to be. He's got it already set, and He is not going to shift, and He's not going to move. Now, one of the things that we have to, that has to be such a concern to all of us, is that there's a generation following us. And not only are we going to be held accountable by what God has said to us directly, but we're going to be held accountable to that which we present to the generation coming. Listen, there's no place we can go and hide. We can't cover up. We can't go into some hole somewhere. So we cannot be held accountable. We're going to be held accountable by the presentation that we make in the earth realm that is being seen by others. And we're going to be held accountable when those individuals follow us in error instead of following us in truth. Hear what I'm saying? We have no, listen, there is no draw the card here. There is no decision here whether or not to think about any kind of renegotiating that God is getting ready to do to take the sting out of accountability. We're going to be held accountable whether we choose or not. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to lay hidden in the midst of those things that come across our path, so we won't identify his wiles, we won't identify his methods, we won't identify him. And thereby we keep ourselves aligned with our own will, mind, and emotions, which carries us in the wrong direction and causes us to miss the intent of God, because we miss the alignment, we miss the direction that Holy Spirit is trying to take us, so we will not trip over these things that are thrown across our trail and get blown up by booby traps that have been set, landmines have been set before us, simply because we can't hear God. And we are moving in trapped territory. We're moving in territory that has been replete with trips and traps and those things that keep us out of the vision. But who's missing it? A lot of the church. A lot of the church paying attention to everything but hell. Paying attention to everything but the tricks of hell, the tricks of the devil, paying attention to everything else that comes across our path and missing that, which the enemy is doing in this hour to bring us into a place of spiritual devastation. Hear me? Spiritual devastation because we can't hear God. And we can't hear God because we don't know the trick of that which is blocking our hearing to keep us from hearing God. And then we get into this place where pride comes in and arrogance, and we don't want to hear what God has said because we have already determined what needs to be right, wrong, or indifferent. Listen, we are in a critical season, and we who name the name of Christ, we who name the name of the church, we have to make sure that we are walking according to the purpose and plan of God. So when the days of accountability come, we will not find ourselves on the wrong side of the bench, if you would. We will not find ourselves sitting draped in the accusation of the brethren and not the grace and mercy of God. We've got to look at this thing. We've got to take a look at where we are so that we can function according to the purpose and plan of God. Okay, that being said, amen. Getting back to the purpose of this morning, I want to talk about the calling. I want to talk about where we are and how we need to understand this calling that we have stepped into. Paul in Romans, the first chapter, first verse, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. Paul, a servant or bondsman of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. There are three things that are in this verse. It's the general calling, the special calling, and the specific calling. Hear me again. Write it down. One is the general calling. Paul, a bondman of Christ. That's a general calling, okay? A special calling. It says called to be an apostle. That's a special calling. The specific calling, separated unto the gospel, it's the specific calling. So all of us who are called out of darkness into the marvelous light have been called a servant or to be a bondsman of Christ. Now, we can stop right there and have a whole lot of blog talk conversation. Amen. Just there, a bondsman of Christ. What does it mean, a bondsman of Christ? It's a general calling that comes to everyone. Amen. We are a bondsman. We're talking about to be a love slave. Who have given up our own rights and gladly accepted a new Lord. Hear what I'm saying? 3 points, once again. To be love slaves, who have given up our own rights and gladly accepted a new Lord. So we're no longer Lord over our lives. We're no longer in charge, if you would. We are no longer the negotiators of our life. We are no longer the ones that make choices of how our life is to live. No, we have become slaves. We have become bondsmen. We have become servants. We have given up our rights. We've given up our own rights and have accepted our new Lord. We're no longer in charge. So the mind, will, and emotion, the carnal nature no longer has a vote. Amen. The only vote the carnal nature has is a vote to come aligned with with our spiritual nature that we have become as we have lined ourselves up with God, with Christ, in being totally connected with Him. Don't have any rights. one of the things that we've been hearing ever since the civil rights movement, which was the grandfather rights, and which was well to be. Everybody else now has, not everybody else, but too many, have used the word rights, and they figure that they have the right because the people were set free from the atrocity of slavery. They have the nerve to think that they can claim rights just because they want to do what they want to do the way they want to do it. That is not, that's another message. Now, I'm not going to go there. But everybody has their rights. Their rights are coming from their carnal nature, not from that which is righteous unto God. The freeing of the slaves living in the civil rights was righteous unto God. He had not instructed anybody to be slaves, to be treated in the horrific way that we were treated. No, that was not an act of God. So these other rights that are coming, the right to live the way I want to live. I want the right to live according to the carnal nature and not the right to live according to God. I want the right. So when we say that we have given up our own rights, it means that there are no rights other than the rights of Christ. There are no rights other than the rights that line up with the intent of God. There are no other rights. We don't have any rights. Amen. We were created for His pleasure. We were created for His good. We were created for His purpose. And we many times can't even find out the purpose, the defined purpose, the specific purpose, if you would, that we've been made created for, because we are caught up in our own rights and doing that which we deem necessary, that which we choose to do. We don't have any choices. The only choice we have is to live according to His purpose. The only choice we have is to live according to His will. The only choice we have is living according to those things that He has defined in this time and this season. And that means there has to be a concerted effort. There has to be, there does have to be a coming of way, a coming apart to begin to hear and what that is that He has called us to be. We have been called according to His purpose, which means that we have been positionally taken out of the kingdom of darkness and have been planted into the body of Christ or the ecclesia. Hear me again. We have been positionally taken out of the kingdom of darkness and planted into the kingdom of light or into the body of Christ, kingdom of light, or the ecclesia. Okay? There are too many who glory that they are called, yet who sense little of the present continuous calling that means a living relationship. And I'm about out of time already. Hear me again. There are too many who glory that they are the called, yet who sense little of the present continuous calling, which means a living relationship. The call of God requires a relationship with Him. Amen. A relationship that's not defined by us. A relationship that's already been defined by Him. We come into the place that's already been defined to live according to the dictates, the place that we've called according to the rules, the regulations, the everything that goes to live in that place. That's where we're called to live. We're called into relationship. We have been called in relationship. Listen, we get called and we get in call, we run and get across on a road, and having said hello to God, having said a word, having sat with Him, having sat by Him, having heard anything He is saying, and just gone to quote unquote mount the pulpit. Come on, somebody. And no, that's not what the calling is. This first calling is not a calling to prepare. We're moving too fast. This calling, this one right here, is to call us into a place of relationship, to understand the grace that God has put upon our lives, to call us out of a place that was hell-bound, would call us out of a place that was trying to rip our souls asunder, to call us out of a place that we were being led by the hell's damnation itself, to call us out of a place and then put us into a place of the ecclesia that gave us righteous in engagement with the throne room of God itself, to bring us out of a place that was hell-bound into a place where many would govern angels, to bring us into a place of revelatory engagement that would change the way we lived our life, the way we define life, the way we define even our existence in this thing called life, because of the relationship that will be established in the calling of that out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. And do you know I am out of time already? Glory to God. But we're going to continue until we get all of this in under our belt. Amen. That we may be able to understand clearly that our first commitment has to become a servant of Christ. If we have not gotten to that place yet, we're still operating in the original calling. We're still being overpowered, overthrown, and over outvoted by the flesh. We're still operating out of our own mindset. We're operating our own our will, and we're operating out of our emotions. Listen, anytime you operate solely out of your mind, your will, and your emotions, you are hellbound for disobedience. You're hellbound for rebellion. That's a spirit rebellion. And we have to understand that, and who has the power to change that? We do. Who has the power to turn that? We do. Who has the power to live in the submissive place of God? We do. Listen, it's all about what we choose to do as we decide that we are no longer Lord over our lives and allow God to become Lord. You can't get to the robe. You can't get to the cross. You can't get to the calling. You can't get to the title. You can't get to the position. You can't get to the office. You can't get to anywhere until we have first sat in the seat of the original calling, called to be a servant, called to be a bondsman, called to follow the Lord in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We bless you and we magnify you. We give you honor. We give you glory for that, which you are unfolding before us. We thank you for the mercy that you've extended to all of us, for you've given us all an opportunity to grab hold of truth and take that truth and stand in the face of hell and declare to hell that you cannot have me, you cannot have my assignment, you can't have my soul, and you cannot have my calling. I thank you, Father, for that which you're unfolding in this hour. And we pray, Lord God, for the many that will never hear of these words or any words like them, but we pray somewhere on that journey they will trip up over the reality of who they have been called to become so that they can operate fully in the purpose that they've been sent into the earth and not become a perpetual victim of hell's agenda. So, Father, we thank you for moving us into this place of clear understanding. We thank you for moving into this place where we can stand in the face of hell, and regardless of the threatenings we may hear from the crowd, stand in the place of hell and declare, you can't have me. You should have kept me when you had me. You can't have me, and I'm not coming back. I thank you, God, for these that are listening. I thank you, God, for these that will hear. I thank you for the gate is open for all of us to step into even closer relationship with God, with you, sir, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, guys, have a great week. Have great victory. Have great revelation. And have great praise. Glory to God. See you next week on Morning Manna. Amen. Bye-bye.